Hey,
James.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
Music-wise, for the lead-in, do you have, like, tunes that you're listening to that for the bumper music that would be cool?
Yeah, man. How about some, can you play some old Michael Jackson for me?
Well, absolutely. But that's a big catalog. What are you thinking? Okay, so we'll go with, like, some old-school stuff. And then what was your first car? Like, we've asked movie stars, TV stars, race car drivers.
Yep.
What was your first car? Was
this
it something?
Car was a Volkswagen Rabbit, man, and I crashed it into a cop car in pursuit. Hey, this is Joe Coy, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN.
Perfect.
On the road with Dane here, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and on the line with us, we have one of the very best in the stand-up biz, one of the hottest comedians in the world right now, with multi-date sellouts everywhere he goes. You've seen him on Chelsea Lately, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and at great arenas and theaters, including the Enormo Dome near you. Coming up, Chicago Theater on the 3rd and 4th of November. Comedian, TV and movie personality, podcaster, restaurateur, renaissance man, the one and only Joe Coy. Welcome to WGN.
Yes, WGN, baby. I made it, Mom.
Well, we made it out to see you out at Michigan City on the Break the Mold tour out at the Blue Chip Casino. And if you'll remember, you were in the shadow of the nuclear power plant there at the casino. So
I was ripping that thing apart, too. You remember that?
I do, but I think that they wore it well. But do you try to build in some kind of local color into every show?
Yeah, I mean, I love it when I go to a town and I just kind of scout the town before I go on stage and just talk about it, man, because it just makes it more enjoyable for the crowd. The crowd just, like, relates to it a little bit better, you know what I mean? So I don't like to just walk up and just start doing a routine. I like to, like, see the town, take it all in, and then put my little take on it, you know?
Well, your first impression of the Blue Chip Casino, you mentioned, of course, the carpeting, the buffet, some other things. Chicago is a place that you are that you're familiar with. What is it that you like to build in, and what do you like to do when you're not on stage entertaining Chicagoans? Where do you go?
You know, I am the exact opposite of, like, your stereotypical comedian, I guess. You know, a lot of, you know, I like to just go eat, and that's it. And the first thing I do when we get into town is I'll tweet, you know, I'll ask, where can I go to get something really good, something local, can't get it anywhere else. And then I go on a mission, man. I find a place that no one else has heard about or been to, and you can't go anywhere else but that town. And that's kind of like my goal. Like, it's kind of like just things that keep me busy and keep my mind straight when I'm on the road, because everything just seems to start to become, the routine when you're on the road all the time. So that's kind of like my way of changing things up for me.
Well, we'll have to get you some suggestions on some different places. Chicago's a great food town. Obviously, we have the James Beard Awards here. We even have some pretty good, you know, Filipino cuisine as well. Do you find, as you're traveling, of course, you've, you know, long kind of built it in to the sets and into your routine. You talk about the food, your affinity for it, you know, maybe some embarrassing situations on the school lunch side. But as you're finding, as you cross the country, Filipino cuisine is super hot right now.
Oh, it's amazing. And, you know, and it's just, it's so fun for me, you know, to actually see this explosion take place. I feel like I even helped it move a little bit. But, you know, because as a child, man, when I was growing up in the 80s, man, that was like, I was trying to sell a used car or something, man. Like, no one was paying attention to Filipino food. And I was like, come on, you guys, try it. It's delicious, you know. And finally, it's starting to take off right now. And people are starting to really appreciate the flavors and our culture a little bit more. So I'm really happy that this is happening, especially now that I'm, like, you know, kind of like putting us out there a little bit, you know, with my stage and talking about my mom and getting, you know, our story out there.
Well, it worked in one case. My wife came home with some mungo beans, like right after the show. And she was like, I love mungo beans. So you're kind of helping people tap into it, certainly carrying the torch, getting some new fans as well. When it comes to fans and it comes to sellouts, I mean, it's crazy, right? It's amazing how you've done it as far as Honolulu Blaisdell. I've been there. That place is huge. You've got six shows, San Francisco, Wakefield, Canada, Florida, all those kind of places. Now, I know David Hasselhoff. You have absolutely no control over, you know, who loves you and from what place and where you become famous. But what is it about Hawaii? If you were going to spin that globe and put your finger on a place that you said, I hope these people, as opposed to maybe Topeka, Kansas, which is very nice. But what's with Hawaii?
Yeah.
Why do they love you so much?
I really don't I really don't know, man. I'm not complaining. You know, I'm so happy and grateful that Hawaii has embraced me the way they did. But, I mean, we broke a record there, bro. Last year we sold 22,000 tickets, and this year we're almost at 30,000, something like that. We did 4 Blaisdell arenas now. So it's crazy, and that's why when I got this Netflix special, I was like, we have to shoot this in Hawaii. I got to show people what's going on out here because these people have embraced me, and I love it, man. Can't walk around that town. I'm like the mayor.
You're bigger than the mayor there. I got a chance to talk to Sam Choi, who's a good friend and one of the greatest chefs in Hawaii. He's won James Beard Awards. He even beat Morimoto on Iron Chef when it was back filmed out of Japan. So there's some serious street cred. And he says that exact thing, that you can't even walk the streets, that you're as big as it gets there in Hawaii. And you talk about the Netflix special. I mean, for a comedian coming up, it's kind of a thankless business. It's a tough business. We have some comedians that are hosts here, regular hosts on WGN. It's tough, right? And so what is it? I know that you've been on all the biggest shows. When you make one of those specials, is that really kind of it? Not being here on WGN with me, but when you get to make your own Netflix special, do you ever sit back and say, like, well, we made it?
I think, first of all, I just got to shout out WGN, because when you're a kid growing up in the 80s, basic cable is kind of like the bootleg version of regular cable. It didn't have the premier channels, you know what I mean? Like, my friends would have HBO and Showtime, and I just had basic cable. But basic cable came with WGN, you know what I mean? And it also came with Turner Broadcasting, you know what I mean? The original, like, WTBS. So it's like, as a kid and doing stand-up comedy, you have goals, you know what I mean? And one of those goals was to be like, yo, I want to be on WGN, because I thought it was the coolest network. You guys had the Bulls, the Cubs, you know what I mean? And that was special to me. So when I finally got on WGN, I remember taking it all in, man. I remember sitting on that desk, you know what I mean, and doing the interview at WGN. I was just like, yo, I made it, dude. And I think those kind of goals that you put in your head, like, you just subliminally put them in your head, and just, I don't know, for some reason, it just happens, as long as you just follow your path, right? So it's like, when I did the WGN thing, that was something that got knocked off of my bucket list. And then, you know, me getting an hour special, then I got that knocked off my bucket list, because I got on Comedy Central. But my number one goal was to get on Netflix, and they never offered it to me. So I wasn't going to let that dream go, man. And so I went and paid for that special myself. Like, I produced it myself, and then I went in and sold it to Netflix. Wow. And that is, I guess, the reason. I don't know why I went this long way just to tell you this story, but I think when you do stuff like that, stuff just starts to happen. Like, yeah, the platform Netflix took me to that next level, but I think the passion and the drive, and of course the routine, was, you know, I think that's my best routine I've ever done so far. And it shows, man. It just showed. You know what I mean? Netflix took it to that next level, bro. So all those steps got me to where I'm at, man. So I thank WGN for everything.
Well, here, I think this is a testament. I think this is something that people can take away from it as well, from the listener side. No matter what it is that you want to do, sometimes you need to be the one pushing. You know, it isn't always one of those stories where you're in a coffee shop somewhere and somebody comes in and says, you're great, you'd be perfect, let's make your dreams come true. Sometimes you got to go ahead and do them yourself. You know, I saw too that you got a chance to be on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and that was one of those things. I knew, whether it was Letterman or Leno, you know, for comedians, they felt, and they can kind of look back and say, like, hey, this is that moment when you knew that this is what you were going to do, regardless of your passion, right? That you knew that it was clicking on the career side. What was the time when you knew that this is, you weren't going to, you know, go sell insurance or do anything else, that this was going to be it?
I was, I think I was, and I'm not lying when I say this, I think I was 11 when I knew I was going to be a comedian. And that was it. I was already set mentally, like, you're not going to derail me. My mom was not going to get me to go to college, even though every single day in high school, get ready for college, bring your grades up for college. In my head, I'm telling my mom, you know, I'm not telling her to her face. In my head, I'm like, no, I'm not going to college, because I'm going to be a comedian. And that was it. That was my only drive. And the Tonight Show was like number one on my list, you know, because all I watched was the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And that had to happen. So, yeah, I mean, the minute I got out of high school, that's all I did. I remember the first time I went on stage right out of high school, I joined a competition called The Biggest Fool in Las Vegas. And I bombed so bad, man. I mean, they heckled me. And I remember I couldn't get off the stage. And the manager on the side of the stage was flashing the light and yelling at me to get off the stage. Man, it was, any normal person would have quit stand-up comedy that night. But I remember going home going, all right, so I got to get back up again.
When you think about it, as far as trying to sell it, you mentioned on the food side, it's trying to sell a used car. And sometimes when it's the career side and kind of your dreams and passions, sometimes your family members are the toughest one to sell. Such a big part, such a beloved part of everything that you do is your mom being built in to your routines and all that kind of stuff. And you know, and now of course it's a great success, and you share the fact that she loves all of it, you know, that she's a big fan of all that kind of stuff. And in the more recent stuff for Break the Mold, you're building your son into it as well, you know, and it's, you know, the trials and tribulations of parenthood and all that kind of stuff. Is he as on board with it as your fans are? I mean, everyone
loves it. He loves it. And it's so cool because, you know, Netflix is just on every television right now, on every phone right now. And all his friends watch the special. So they've embraced me. And my son is like, you know, kind of like king shit right now because all the kids love the routine. And they quote my stuff at school. They wear my shirts. And it's pretty cool, man. And he's excited for this next special. He can't wait. There's a couple jokes that he asked. He goes, are you for sure doing this one? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it, man. Get ready. So get ready because they're going to talk about it at school, bro.
When you think about Vegas, you mentioned that as far as some of those kind of formative moments. And, you know, it would be really satisfying, I think. And maybe this would be one of those things to do. Maybe do a residency in Vegas down the road. You look at the contrast from where you started to where you are. Is that anything that, you've thought of? It's like, hey, you know, it's great to tour. And I know you love to see people. People love to see you. But you're almost to that point. Maybe you are where you could just say, like, here's where I'll be. You guys show up here.
Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy that. I think what I love the most is the change. You know what I mean? Like, I really enjoy change of scenery, change of environment, and change of culture. Like, every city has its own culture. You know what I mean? I wouldn't like to be in a hub where everyone, you know, comes and, you know, don't get me wrong, I play Vegas once a year and I love it, you know. I really, really love it. But to do a residency, I don't think I could do that. Yeah, I really still enjoy the touring aspect of stand-up comedy. I'm in love with it. I will die doing this, man.
Well, hey, don't die anytime soon because there's a lot of tickets out there that have been sold. I'm sure.
I won't.
See, it would get kind of crazy. You know, you're sitting down, you're at the cafe, you're sitting up for dinner. It's always Carrot Top, Celine Dion. You're like, what's going on? Well, when you think about this, part of it is, you know, from a comedian standpoint, you've done it all and you said change, right? Maybe to keep it fresh. You're doing the TV side of it, now the movie side of it. Talk a little bit about Anastasia. And is part of this where you, through your research and all the stuff that you've done, you realize that Vladimir Lenin had an unknown or lesser known funny side that you're going to be kind of helping to bring out with this movie.
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy that I even got that because I didn't audition for it. But they basically sold me as me and trusted me with the character because I played Lenin, which I needed a Russian accent. So I had to hire, like, well, I didn't hire, but I got a linguist to help me get the accent down. And I just memorized my lines and figured out that accent and did my best right when I landed, man. That was one of the best weekends of my life, man. I never enjoyed being on a set as much as I did that week. I mean, everyone from the director to the cinematographer to the writers. It was so much fun, man. I can't wait for that movie to come out.
Is that the kind of thing maybe you
great experience
that you would want to do, though, is do more of those kind of things? You know, when you can find a project that kind of fits with you that you think you'll enjoy, is just get out there and do some movies and TV?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's every comic's dream. When I write my jokes, I literally am thinking of a situation. It's literally a sitcom that I have in my mind. And I think it's episodic. You know what I mean? Like, when you watch my routine, in my head, I'm actually seeing it unfold live. You know what I mean? Like, I can see that situation take place. Or when I recreate a situation with my son, you know, something that happened between him and I, and I take it on stage. And I'm just like, well, this could easily be on a TV show. So that's always just, like, on my mind. It's like, yeah, I want to take my stand-up and take it to the next level, which would be, of course, the big screen and or the small screen, either one.
Well, you're coming here to Chicago on the 3rd and the 4th on tour. And are there some places, you know, we're going to love you, you're going to be sold out, all that kind of stuff. The Filipino community is certainly well behind you here, as well as everybody else. Are there places that you really look forward to? Do you pick the tour out? Do you say, or do you just throw it out there and say, hey, wherever, you know, people, you know, wherever the tickets get sold, we're going to show up? Or do you have places that you're like, I got to go, maybe for the food scene or for this reason or that reason?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Oh, geez. I think, man, you know, because it's I don't even know how to answer that, because I love to just go no matter what. But, I mean, man, there are some places where my stomach starts to growl just thinking about it, man. Chicago, hands down, the best place to go eat pizza, man. And here's what you're going to hate the most. I don't like deep dish at all.
It's okay. No, we've got a lot of.
I can't stand deep dish, but for some reason, I got to get deep dish pizza, and it's the only place in the world that I'll get deep dish pizza. And don't get mad at me, but I don't like it. But for some reason, I gotta have it when I'm in Chicago, and I will eat it all weekend. I don't get it. Blows my mind.
You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, and
I think that's the truth,
right?
That's so true. Because when I leave Chicago, I even tell myself, I'm like, I will never eat that again. Why do I do this? Why do I wait 40 minutes for this big pizza to come to the table? I don't get it.
I don't know.
But I do it. I swear to God, I go it.
I got to tell you, Joe, we've got great pizza. We've got thin crust pizza, Neapolitan pizza. We've got a lot of different places. Maybe spread your wings, kind of branch out a little bit. Don't feel obligated to do the deep dish. You've done it, right? You've paid your dues. Now you can
I know, but it seems like every time I go, I'm with somebody that's with me that's always like, let's get the deep dish pizza. And I'm like, okay, and we get it. We go to Illuminati's?
Yeah, no, not the Illuminati. It's Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's, right?
Yeah, yep, Lou Malnati's.
How do you say it?
Lou Malnati's.
Oh, Lou Malnati's. That's right. What it, Illuminati.
I know, right? It's a conspiracy.
Lou Malnati's.
I mean, we've got like a pizzeria.
Did I say Illuminati?
You did, yeah. I mean, because that's the way it goes.
I'm sorry, don't get mad
at
me.
No. And so people enjoy you on stage, but talk a little bit about share the podcast and some of the other ways people are getting their Joe Coy fix.
Man, I'm telling you right now, the animated series that I got going on right now at True TV is hysterical, man, which is a cartoon that I've been in love with for almost 7 years that I've been trying to sell. This idea, and finally True TV picked it up last year, and it's in production right now. And man, I was in the sound booth for 3 days. That's why I don't know if you can tell my voice is kind of hoarse, but we were laying down tracks, bro, for this cartoon, and it is funny, man. My showrunner and writer, my writing partner is Kurt Waddell, who does American Dad, and he's phenomenal, man. He ripped this script apart, and of course my jokes in the script are killer, bro, and I cannot wait for the world to see this cartoon. It's unlike any other cartoon.
Could you imagine it? It'll be like the future Joe Coys of the world will be heading to school with their mungo beans in a Joe Coy lunchbox, right? I mean, that's it. Because once once you have a cartoon, the next thing is just an action figure, right? That's the next thing.
I want all of it, man. I want all of it, and I can't. And it's so funny because it's just my story, man. I really want to get that story out there, and it's my life, bro. To actually see it come to life and just see all these producers and execs in the sound booth that are hearing my story and believing in it, investing their money into it. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure on somebody, and it's just overwhelming, and I'm humbled, man. Like, I took a moment when I finished reading my lines and I was done, and I remember I couldn't leave the sound booth. I was just like, I was just sitting in there and taking it all in. And then everyone came into the sound booth with me, and then we all took a picture together. And it was just like 30 years of my life, man, right here. This is it. 30 years. It took me 30 years to tell my story, and it's happening.
It couldn't happen. Like, all of the success and everything, and I think part of it, and I think you know it too, is you're a humble guy. You understand what it takes. You appreciate your fans. It couldn't happen to a nicer or better guy. And I think we're all blessed, all of us that are fans of what it is that you do, that you are as active and as creative as you are, right? You're not Steely Dan, right? You're not writing an album and then sitting around and coming out with another one in 10 years. You get out there and you let people kind of experience and enjoy all of the success with you as well. JoeCoy.com is the website where you can get all the information on the tour dates, all the different swag, all the stuff that's going on. You're really active on social media, but let people know how they can kind of keep up with your adventures, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, and all that.
Yo, number one, Instagram. That's, I love that the most. JOKOY. And that's where I just like to tell my story, man. And of course, there's Facebook. Everything across the board is Joe Coy. But yeah, I'll see you soon, man. Can't wait for that theater.
Yeah.
The Chicago Theater, man.
It's beautiful. It will be sold to the rafters for all of Joe Coy's fans to get in there. And I know.
Yeah, we sold out the first show, and now we're down to the second show's almost gone.
Yeah, so here's the thing, too, is on Instagram, let people know where you're at, where you're out and about eating, and then people, that'll be the next best chance for people to see you, is to come out and try to hijack your meals. You know, that's what you'll do while you're here. But we can't thank you enough for taking time out. Ticketmaster.com for those few remaining tickets for Joe Coy and get to see him third and fourth at Chicago Theater. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much. Love you.